feel like I'm a member.
I'd like to call the Transportation Finance and Policy Division order. As you know, we have only one bill on the agenda today, and we do not have a quorum yet, but we do have the author of the bill that's before us, and it's Representative Hornstein. House File 809. And by the way, we will lay this bill over because the fiscal note is not available. So we'll be voting on the bill in the next meeting. And do you want to move the bill, Representative Hornstein?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, I would like to move House File 809, and I imagine the motion would be to lay the bill over or refer it.
It'll actually go to Finance Committee.
Oh, okay. I'd like to move the bill to the Finance Committee then.
We'll lay it over, but that's right.
Right.
You can do that.
After it's laid over, I'd like to be recommended to pass and then sent to the Finance Committee.
Sounds good, Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. House File 809 has come to me from people who are working from St. Stephen's Church, with a very extensive network of advocates for the homeless. I understand that Mary Jo Copeland, for example, at Sharing and Caring Hands has been engaged in this effort. And I feel strongly about this because I remember having gone to a public hearing in St. Cloud and on transit issues and hearing someone who said that they'd actually lined up a job but couldn't take it because they couldn't get there. And so this bill really attempts to assist people who are homeless, who are lacking any private means to seek employment. It's administered through charitable organizations. It has some accountability provisions on the second page in terms of reporting requirements to the legislature to see if this program is working. And I have some people from St. Stephen's who can testify to the need for this bill. It's very simple and straightforward. It has bipartisan support, which I'm very pleased about. But in a nutshell, very simple, providing discount passes to charitable organizations for people seeking employment or who are homeless. And that's how I would summarize it in two sentences, Mr. Chair, and I would be happy to either take questions now or have our testifiers come.
You have testifiers?
Yes, three quick ones. I have Chuck Hinshaw, Elsa Cardenas, and Joshua Lang.
Unless there are questions, we'll have the testifiers come forward. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. I want to thank the committee for inviting me to speak today and thank Representative Hornstein as well. My name is Joshua Lang. I'm the director of the St. Stephen's Human Rights Program. Myself, I'm a bus rider. I've got two kids. We don't have a car. I use the bus every day, so this is an important service for me. I know that the bus increase has affected our family, and as we've been doing interviews on the streets with homeless people, I've seen it even hit them harder. We've done interviews right now with 409 people who are on the streets experiencing homelessness, and there's five main areas that people on the streets use the bus for. First one is jobs, getting to work or looking for jobs. Second one is medical care. A great majority of the interviews that you'll see talk about people trying to get to the doctor, get prescriptions, get to the pharmacy. Housing, this is a big one, getting to shelters, looking for housing, people coming out of shelters trying to get into apartments. Youth who don't have a place to stay at night, youth workers will give them bus tokens to ride the bus at night. We don't have enough shelters for youth, so they're riding the 16 bus, the 52 bus, through the night, just so they're not subject to predators out there and have a warm and safe place. Fourth one is education. We have people who are looking, going to school for their GED, going to college, going for technical training. And the last main area that homeless people need the bus for is family responsibilities. Taking care of elderly parents, visiting their families, being involved in their kids' education, attending parent-teacher nights, going to extracurricular activities that their kids have at school. Our goal with this bill is to provide people the tools to get out of homelessness, to have the self-sufficiency, to no longer be in poverty, to get into housing, and to get their lives better. Our preliminary research has shown that this bill can be low cost or even cost neutral because it opens a lot of new markets for Metro Transit. Churches right now that currently don't buy any bus passes, we're going to work with the Met Council to promote this program, to get out to these churches, to get them to buy more bus passes, let them know that there's a discount for those serving the homeless or job seekers. And we have a couple people here to testify today who work with us in our program who can tell you a little bit about their story and what they use the bus for. I strongly encourage you to support House File 809, and thank you for having me speak today.
Thank you. Are there questions of the testifier? If not, thank you.
So we have Elsa Cardenas and Chuck Henshaw, so.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Henshaw.
Thank you for your listening and your attention and your consideration of this bill. My name is Chuck Henshaw. I work with the Human Rights Program at St. Stephen's. I'm a regular rider of the bus, 6-7 days of the week, 2 times a day. I'm on a very fixed income. After my 2 little part-time jobs right now, and after rent, I'm left with maybe $100 left for the month for clothing, food, medical attention, going to schooling, or looking for a better job to better the way of my life. This bill would mean a lot to people in my situation, and when I say us or myself, I'm talking about the homeless people. Fortunately, I'm no longer homeless. The last 6 months, I've had a place to live, but for the last 4.5, 5 years before that, I have been homeless. This bill would mean a lot in a stimulus package for the people who really need it and the people who have been affected from the economy of the United States. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Henshaw. Any questions of the testifier? No, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, I have one final testifier, Elsa Cardenas.
Welcome to the committee.
Hi, my name is Elsa Cardenas. I'm an intern at St. Stephen's Human Services. I use the bus for everything. I mean, I use it for school, for medical appointments, job search. I'm currently working my way out of homelessness. I'm in recovery and going to school. I'm looking for work. I'm currently part of a job training program through Twin Cities Rise, and they provide me with a bus pass to get through my job training. If bus fares are raised, then it is a strong possibility that Twin Cities Rise would not be able to afford to provide me with bus passes, and I would not be able to continue my job training. If they were able to purchase them at half price, this would ensure that I could continue even if bus fares were raised. So I'm currently getting general assistance, and they provide me with $96 a month. If I were to have to purchase my own bus pass, that would leave me with like $11 for the whole month. You know. Getting reduced fares would make a huge difference in my life. It would allow me to stretch my limited resources as I work to become self-sufficient. It would help to provide me with a little more financial stability, which in turn increases my chances of being successful. So I urge you to pass House File 809, and I thank you for considering the bill and listening to my story.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there questions? Representative Beard.
Mr. Chairman, I have a couple questions for the author. Representative Hornstein, if I may. I noticed I'm thinking about the cost of the program, and I noticed that you have a repealer in here that knocks out a piece, Representative Hornstein, regarding legislation to pass a requirement that we provide transit availability and reduce costs for transit users looking for a job and so on and so forth. In thinking about the cost of this program, and I know we don't have a fiscal note yet, one is coming, so if you need me to hold off until next Tuesday or whenever the fiscal note gets here, I can do that. But do you have an idea what that's costing us now? Or can Met Council representative in the audience come and speak to that? Are they prepared to do that?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman and Representative Beard. I think that it probably would be appropriate to have Mr. Shetman discuss that. I think that they have some concerns about the bill, but have generally been helpful, and maybe it'd be appropriate for him to talk about your question, but any other issues the Met Council would have.
Great. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members and Representative Beard. That Job Seekers program that you're referring to is we have a budget of about $650,000 a year for that program. Mm-hmm. And I know we've had a conversation with Representative Hornstein. We've also talked with Senator Dibble, who is the Senate author of this bill, and I testified before the Senate on this bill as well, that the Council doesn't support repealing the Job Seekers program in this bill. However, as we've also mentioned, we are happy to work with the authors of the bill, Representative Hornstein and Senator Dibble in the Senate, and also the folks from St. Stephen's to come back with some language that will work for everybody. And I think that when that occurs, we'll also have a fiscal note that probably works for this bill as well. So we just need a little bit more time to make this work. But I think the intentions are good with this bill.
It sounds like when the fiscal note gets here, we'll be able to talk a little more clearly and intelligently about the provisions. But my concern, or my thought, was that if we eliminated one mandate, the funds would shift over to maybe accommodate this provision. However, it sounds like Met Council doesn't necessarily want the first mandate to go off. And I guess that leads to the next question for Representative Hornstein or for Mr. Shetman. It sounds like we may already have something like this in place for free or reduced transportation. It's just not required to go through the 501c3s, which I think may have some merits for the discussion. But can you talk about that? Are we already accommodating this? Or?
Okay. Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, two thoughts, and then I think Mr. Shetman has some also wants to respond. You know, we were very careful in this bill to recognize the fiscal challenges before the state. So the first goal was to see if there's a way to make it revenue neutral. The second goal, which gets to your question about the 501c3s, is that we really want to be able to engage the very organizations that really are serving this population, that are on the streets, that are close to the very people who will benefit from this service, whose lives will be improved, who will make a difference. And so I think that provision is in there because, again, you have all kinds of shelters, you know, again, ranging from St. Stephen's to Sharing and Caring Hands to, you know, so many different agencies that deal with the homeless. Mm-hmm. That, you know, for them to be able to access this easier and, again, to be able to promote it in partnership with the Met Council, I think really makes a difference. And, you know, if the testifiers want to weigh in on that as well. But, Mr. Shetman, what is...
Great. Mr. Chair and members and Representative Hornstein, one of the differences between the Job Seeker program and this bill is that the Job Seeker program offers a 50% discount on a bus fare or a transit fare. And what this bill will do is will allow that discount to be extended to homeless shelters as well. So that's the difference here. And in the Job Seeker program, in some of our social services programs that we participate with, we already provide a 10% discount to the nonprofit social service organizations. And what this bill would do is be able to extend that reduced transit fare from 10% to 50% for the homeless. And that's why I think you see the Job Seeker program referenced in here, is because that 50% off of transit fare is what exists right now in that Job Seeker program. And what we're saying is we'd like to keep that program and then be able to work with the authors and with the folks here in the audience to be able to see how we can craft something that works for everybody. And I think we can do that.
Do you have a follow-up for Fingers?
Yes, just one brief one, and then I'm done for now, because it sounds like we need to, this may be answered as they work out, but Mr. Shetman, the program that you're administering now, do you actually have staff people at Met Council that folks approach and pick up their discounted transportation tokens, passes, Or do they just get on the bus and tell the bus driver I'm a job seeker and pay half the fare? How's that administered? How does it function right now?
Mr. Shedman?
Mr. Chair, Representative Beard, we actually work with the 501c programs, is that right? Or is it
501c? Yeah.
501c programs. And work with them. For instance, we work with the United Way, we work with St. Stephen's, we work with a number of social services organizations. I think that there's over 50 in all that we work with.
Oh.
And you can't just get on the bus and say that, you know, you're out looking for employment and that you're going to receive and that you want to pay half a fare. You have to actually go through one of the programs that are administered by the council and overseen by the council. So that's how this works. And what this bill will do and what this legislation will do, I imagine, when we're done, is try to extend that to a little bit further or deeper into the homeless the homeless shelter program.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Hausman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm assuming you've done research nationally. Every major city has got to be caught in the same situation right now and will be certainly for the next year. What kinds of models are out there and how are other regions trying to respond?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hausman, that's an excellent question. I don't work, you know, hand in hand with the folks who run this program, and I think that when we are working on this amendment that we'll come back with, we'll be engaged with those folks. There's a woman by the name of Jerry Sutton who is runs our Metro Mobility program, but her division also runs our Job Seeker program, and she's the person that we've been engaging with Representative Hornstein and Senator Dibble to do this, and she's probably the more appropriate person to handle that. But I also think that, to kind of piggyback on your comment, that yes, I think that there's issues with this across the country, and not only do we have a two-year problem, but we actually have a bigger problem in the next biennial budget. And so we recognize that the economic times are hard, and we want to try to make sure that people have access to using our transit system if they're seeking employment, and we want to help that. And also with the homeless community, we see that that is probably a proper way for us to be putting some effort into this. But we need to do that with our budget in mind as well. And we've got, you know, an additional $18 million deficit that we didn't have yesterday.
And Mr. Chair, I will use that as my reason again to give what is the very unpopular solution, which only I am talking about, but that is we are in unusual times. We have to keep the buses running, and we ought to be able to respond to needs like this, and we should figure out how to say for 1 year we're going to use that quarter-cent sales tax to fully operate, not just fill the gap, but to provide more service when we know we're going to need it. And if we want to build more corridors, we can do that in the capital investment bill. But I don't know, I just think we have to face reality here and use fully and well the funds that are there. I'm very unpopular with the transit community every time I mention this, but I just have the feeling we're not really facing reality yet.
Mr. Shedman.
That's why they're nervous. They
Chair members. Mr. Chair and members, I know that this body is going to have a number of issues that they need to deal with, and you know, I don't want to say one thing one way or the
right.
other, because the transit community definitely has different opinions about how to do things, and within the administration, we will come forward with a. Hopefully with a solution that will work for all of us, and I'll be happy to work with you as we do that.
Before you leave, Chair, Mr. Shetman, would you identify yourself for this?
Oh, sure. I'm sorry. My name is Judd Shetman. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council.
Thank you.
And just an addendum to Mr. Shetman, the transit chairs and the transit community that have a problem with that. But anyway,
Mr. Lang has some more information about Representative Hausman, Mr. Chair, about national programs. If that's very briefly, he could address that. So, Mr. Lang?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Sutton.
You're welcome. Yeah, thank you, Mayor.
Representative Houseman, I just want to say that our office did look around the country to see if there's other programs similar to this one. We did not find other programs like this. But what we're trying to do is to really open up this market for nonprofits right now who only buy a certain amount because that's all they can get a discount for, and say, like JobSeeker, you get $10,000. That's all you can spend to get your 50% discount. A lot of agencies want to spend more than that, but they can't because that's all that they get allocated. We want to say, get rid of that allocation. Let Mary Jo Copeland buy as much as she can at 50%. Let these agencies really spend as much as they can at that 50%. So we're not limiting people to say you can only buy this much discounted. We're providing a value for these agencies that have to really look at their money tightly, and if they can get a value in one area, transportation, that's important, they may be able to put more money into that and really expand their services in that way. So, thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Further questions from the committee? No further testifiers? Someone from the audience? No. If not, Representative Hornstein renews his motion that House File, whatever it was, 809, be recommended to pass and sent to the Finance Committee, but it's going to be laid on the table until we get the fiscal report.
Or is it laid over or whatever?
It's just laid over.
Okay, whatever the terminology. Mr. Chair, members, thank you very much, and I will get to that fiscal note, and we'll, any outstanding issues with the Met Council will have ironed out before we come back to the committee. So appreciate your hearing the bill, Mr. Chair.
And also, the members have the minutes before them. When you look in the minutes, we actually have been informed in the last paragraph that House File 85, which we recommended to pass and referred to the Finance Committee, should go to the General Register. So when you make the motion for accepting the minutes, would you include that in your motion, please? Someone? Representative Seaver can make that motion.
I make that motion. Just the way you said it, too.
Are there any questions or comments? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? The motion prevails. And unless there are any further questions, the meeting is adjourned. Till next Thursday. Till next Thursday.